scripture reading is from Psalm 85, and it's verses 1 through 13. It's the entire chapter, but I thought it was well worth it for what we're speaking about today. So Psalm 85 is today's scripture reading. And it says, Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. You have taken away all your wrath, and you have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. What a great psalm this is. And it talks about restoration. It talks about renewal. And it talks about revival. Something that the church is always, always in the business of. Restoration, renewal, and revival. The first couple verses tell us that he forgives us. The second set in verse 4 through 6 tells us that he restores and revives us. And he can renew us. In the third set of verses, 7 through 9, it tells us that he speaks to us. And it says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people. So he will speak to us. We just have to slow down and listen. And then in the very end of that scripture, of that chapter, it gives us a picture of what all that restoration will look like. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Amen. Today's message, we're going to be talking out of Ezekiel. If you would turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. And as you turn in your Bible to Ezekiel 36, they say it takes all kinds of people to make up this world. How many of you know that? Amen. Maybe so. Maybe you haven't met many of them. Chances are you may not have met many of them with a small world. Those of you that are world travelers, been in the military, maybe you've met different type in the military or on business. But when you come to service on Sunday mornings, you're going to meet many different people. You're going to meet new people. But one of the people you're going to come face to face with is yourself. You've got to look in the mirror and you've got to see yourself for who and what you are. How do you see yourself? And how you answer that has a definite and direct impact on how you respond to God's word. So take a minute just to picture yourself in all its truth. There's a big giant mirror standing in front of you, and you've got to stare yourself right in the face and say, oh, this is who I am, or wow, this is who I am? All right. I'm a child of God. This is excellent. I'm glad to hear that and know that. So some of you may look in the mirror when you come on Sundays and say, I look better than I thought. And I'm not talking about how you dress. I'm talking about, man, there's hope for me. God says, I am his child, and he makes beautiful things. So I challenge each one of you just to think today what you look like in the mirror. The Bible tells us we're all rank sinners. When you look in the mirror, you probably don't see that. You know, there's not a big thing that says you're a rank sinner. Some of you throughout your house and your bathrooms say, I am a beautiful child of God. You have things written or attached or taped around your house or on the mirrors. So you know that you are one of God's children. But just remember, we're as filthy rags. When you do that, I believe that it makes it easier to want to study God's Word, to open up His Word, to bring your Bibles to church, to want to study His Word, want to hear His Word on Sunday mornings, and then receive it and apply it on Sunday mornings. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to start in verse 16. And historically, Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. And he was a strong leader, they say. And he was able to lead through many things. But at the same time, he was a strong leader. It says God's people refused to listen to him. They didn't hear his warnings about God's curse, God's blessings. They didn't hear that. They were off doing their own thing. And God promised them back then in His covenant, the Mosaic covenant, God promised them certain things would come. But they didn't listen to Him. And He prophesied about the disaster and captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. That's in the previous chapters. It talks about that. But He also had a message about restoration, renewal, and revival. And that's what we're going to look at today. And He told His people, there's restoration available for you. And I'm no prophet and I'm no Ezekiel, but I have the same message today. Because it's consistent. It's God's Word. So if you would, Ezekiel 36 verse 16, join with me as we look at that. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. They came killing people, innocent people on their land. And then when they came in the presence of God, worshiping God, they mixed it with idolatry. And they were praising and worshiping other things other than the true God. And they combined those things. In verse 19, so I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. So God's taking a look at their past behavior, and he's bringing down judgment on them. And it said up here that I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. And God is still judging us according to our ways and our deeds. Now, some of us are surprised that we've done things in our past. And we're surprised when those consequences follow us. We say, oh my goodness, that was in the past. That's right, but there's consequences for sin. God has consequences. Man has consequences. And yet we just want them to drop off. Or we're surprised at how long they follow us. Some things, some mistakes in life will follow you for a season, months, years. Some will follow you for the rest of your life. There are consequences for sin. But we're surprised by that for some reason. But likewise, we think because we have sin in our past that we can't see the light and we can't move on. We have to move on. Now, whether it's God's judgment or man's law following us, that's just consequences. But we still can take that step up and say, I don't have to live in that darkness anymore. Jesus promises a new life, the new man, when we believe and call on the name of the Lord. We don't have to live in that. So some are surprised that we drag consequences around with us or that they follow us, and some want to drag it around chasing them when God says, let go of those chains. You're pulling it, but all you have to do is let go. I've got this. Now, there still may be consequences, but I've got this. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. You don't have to live in that anymore. Reading on, and it talks about, as I said previously, it talks about the way they defiled their land. I just picture us with our house or our cars, and we don't maintain them. And everything just piles up. And that's what I picture when he's talking about other things, when they shed innocent blood. But I'm just picturing us not taking care of the property God has given us. When I look around at this church, I think this is a good looking church, both in its building and its people. We've taken good care of it. That doesn't mean that there's not things, but we've taken good care of this church. It is a good-looking church. God says, when I give you things to take care of, you have to do that. As I said, in their worship, they mix worshiping the true God with idolatry. Probably still have a little bit of that going on in these days. You know, we talk about worshiping idols, and I don't bow down to my TV or anything. That doesn't mean I don't spend extra amounts of time. I may not worship it, but what consumes your time? Read it on in verse 22. Verse 22 says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Now listen up in verse 25. Verse 25 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. For I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. We'll stop right there for a minute. Hebrews, I put in the, gave Eric Hebrews 6:11 to put in there as a reference. And I apologize, I gave him the wrong scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And it says, let us draw near. This is Hebrews 10:22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen? Some of us may just need a sprinkling of fresh water. Have we separated ourselves? Have we made ourselves distinct from the rest of the world? As Christians, we're called to separate ourselves and be distinct from them. Are we defiling our land? Ourselves? Our bodies? Verse 19 said, God judged them according to their ways and their deeds. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Maybe you know Christian people that have a heart of stone still. They can tell you about the Bible inside and out. They can quote scripture. They can tell you how to live their life, and they are mean and grumpy as the day is long. I'm just saying. I'm not saying they're in here. I'm just saying that probably if you've been in church for any length of time, you have probably run across them. If you have not been in church a long time, but you're an older person and been in contact with the outside world, you've probably come in contact with them. They've got scripture attached to their emails. They have scripture around their desk, their home, their office, their whatever. They have their Jesus bumper stickers. They have the sign of the fish on the back of their car. And they're as mean as the day is long. They have not yet chosen to be broken by God and made themselves separate and distinct from the rest of the world except for the outside whatever. They wear their crosses. They wear their Jesus t-shirts. But they haven't separated themselves yet. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Only God can do that. Husbands and wives have been trying to convert hard stone hearts for years. You can't do it. Jesus Christ is the one that changes that. He removes the heart of stone and replaces that and transplants that and transforms that into a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. James says, do not be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Flipping back in Ezekiel, he also says the same thing in verse 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 30 says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as people do. And they hear your words, but they don't do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among you. You see, 2,000 years later, 2,500 years later from when this took place, it's still happening. People come, they sit, they listen, and they leave. And yet there's nothing else transforming them throughout the week. We have to be intentional people. Prayer of Faith World Outreach, I'm calling each and every one of us to be intentional people when we come and we show up on Sundays. Not just showing up haphazardly out of habit, but saying, man, what is going to happen today? I was talking to our elder Philip last week, and he says, I come to church and I don't like missing because you think, what am I going to miss? And what you may miss may not be from the pulpit here. It may be from God. Come with an expectation. Verse 28. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. When you look at yourself in the mirror and God is transforming you, and He is multiplying and increasing things in your life, then remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself. He cleanses us. He brings us back. He restores us. And as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, He brings the increase. God brings the increase in our life. Verse 33, thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities and all your sins, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The ruins of your life are able to be rebuilt through the power and strength of Jesus Christ. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. Your life that you may feel is empty and useless, God will change that. He is tilling land inside of your heart, inside of your body, so that it can be fruitful, so that it can bear fruit. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, He says, I, the Lord, shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And today, He still promises that. And He still can do that. And when life starts improving for us, and we start getting increase, we have to be so careful not to take credit for that. Because He says, I will cause it. I will bring that to pass. He enables us to overcome. Some of the greatest stories of overcoming. People that came from nothing to something. Godly people. God allows that. God takes their broken life, fills that, and allows it to bear fruit. You know, Rick Warren is the pastor of Saddleback Church. He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. He's a great author, has a great church. And less than a week after Easter, his son committed suicide. Struggled with depression for years. Had attempted suicide many times. And his son committed suicide. And you can think, man, God, why do you do that? This guy has a church, a ministry. That's huge. This book that has changed and transformed people all over the world. Why did you do that? God, why did you allow that to happen? And those are two different questions. Why did you do that? I don't think God did that, but God allowed that to happen. And in speaking of his son's suicide, he said, in God's garden of grace, even a broken tree bears fruit. And I want to tell you today, that's where we are at. In God's garden of grace. We live there each and every day. And if you feel broken today, God allows you to bear fruit, even though you may be broken or just feel broken. In closing today, verse 37 and 38 says, thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. He says, I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men Then they shall know that I am Lord. Today God will bring the increase. He will change and transform men and women. He will bring the increase into this church. And by that it may not be in numbers, but it may be you guys. It may be me that He is transforming. He is taking His sheep and transforming them, and He will multiply them. And multiply may mean that He's just allowing us to do ministry. If you don't come to Wednesday night Bible studies, I invite you to come to Wednesday night Bible studies where we are talking about spiritual gifts. And we asked two questions last week. Now that you know your spiritual gift, how can or will you use those? Second question was, what ministry would you be willing to take on or do at Prayer Faith World Outreach to help us out? And it's the same question. God can multiply us to be effective leaders, to be effective teachers. And it may be behind the scenes things. There's all kinds of behind the scenes things that happen here at Prayer Faith World Outreach that we don't see, that we don't know about, that we don't hear about. But it says, God will bring the increase. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we close today. Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to share in Your Word. We thank You for the Word that You have given us. Lord, we thank You for Your prophet Ezekiel, for the words he spoke so long ago. Lord, You are still in the business of restoration, renewal, in revival. Lord, Your Word said today that we read, You will bring us back to a place that we have either walked away from or been sent out from. Lord, today I pray that those that are here today receive that Word, that may be drawn into this place, that may understand that You have restoration and renewal for them. Lord, that You have spiritual renewal for them today. As we pray today, would you just lift your hand if you're looking for spiritual renewal, revival, or restoration today so that we can continue praying for you? Maybe you feel God calling you to do a ministry. Just lift up your hand. So we can continue praying. Thank you. Thank you, God. And if you're sitting there today, just pray that God opens your heart, that He transforms a heart. And you may think this heart is soft enough already, but God always makes it softer. He puts that baby skin on top. God, through the sprinkling of Your water, through the sprinkling of Your water, will You cleanse us today? Draw us to be closer to You today. Lord, as we go out this week and come in contact with people, we pray that You allow us to be light and salt to them. Lord, that we can affect them with our words and with our actions, the deeds we do, so that when You judge our ways and our deeds, Lord, we can be proud of them. Lord, we pray today as we look in the mirror, any area that we don't like what we see, Lord, that You would improve it, that You would correct it, that You would transform it. But Lord, You bring to our attention the need for restoration through repentance. God, help us to understand true repentance, to dislike the things we do and the people we have become so much that we turn away from it completely. Not back and forth like a yo-yo, but turn away from it and walk away from it. Lord, help us become a more intentional church. When we show up, not out of habit, Lord, but out of expectation to receive what you have for us. To receive your promises, your correction, and just to hear you. We thank you for the freedom to be in your presence today, Lord. Lord, give us a great week in reflecting your love and drawing closer to you. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.